Well, we will start our program in just a few minutes, but I hope you're enjoying everything. I guess you all heard a little bit about what was going on, and what do you want to call it, a snafu? Or they didn't pay attention. Anyway, we're going to have our guest speaker. I'll give him a call. We'll wait another, 5-10 minutes, and we'll get started, because I think we're going to have a real interesting and exciting talk from our ACB PR chair. And this guy's incredible, but I'll give you more of the facts when we actually do an intro once I get him on the cell phone, and we're going to hope that we're able to have it nice and clear. So we'll do everything we can, but about another 5-10 minutes. Thanks. Oh, yeah, we could do that. No, well, there's another mic, too. But let's see, is there someone that may want to be a mic runner for me? Do you mind? Mike will pass the mic.
I don't think my name is Mike, Ken.
How would you like a first name of microphone? Anyway, we're going to at least do introductions. So maybe you can just give your name, which chapter you're from, and what do you guys do? Just very quickly, like a sentence or two, what your chapter is doing in the area of PR.
That's your job. So, hey.
So I guess Charlene is going to help here. And
I've got the mic.
No, she's got it. And I'll just say, just as an example, that I'm Ken Metz, but I think you already knew that, so that's okay. And I'm with the Greater A chapter. And in public relations, I'm not going to say that we have done anywhere near what we should do. We're going to try and do that and see how much public relations can hopefully increase, especially our fundraisers and our ability to get the word out there exactly what CCB does and what the purpose is. So that's it for me.
Okay, I'll start. My name is Charlene Ornelas. I'm with the San Diego Braille Club. And one of the reasons I'm here is to find out how to get the public relations out into the city of San Diego more.
Okay, reach out. Give me 1 second.
Swallow.
I had to swallow first. Good morning. I'm Pamela Metz. I'm actually president of Greater LA Chapter. One of the things I'd like to see us do more, we're having a letter writing campaign in November. So after we do all our business, we're going to sit down and write letters for people who want to write different letters to different people. And hopefully that will help get the word out. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Get them motivated.
I'm Frank Welty from the San Francisco chapter. And so far, what we tend to do as far as PR is putting out our notices, I'd say, about what we have, events we have coming up through the normal blind community channels, like the through the Lighthouse newsletter and through the Lighthouse for the Blind has a weekly events listing, and we're listed in there, and through the CB things like the California Connection. But we definitely do need to do more in terms of reaching out to the larger community.
Good morning. I'm Viviana Norris from Yosemite Gateway Chapter. And, well, sometimes we join other events from the public so that we can raise a little bit of awareness and so that people do know that there is a need for people to meet, and people who need to have some sort of support have somewhere that they see that they can say, hey, there they are. And that's pretty much what we do for now. We're trying to expand a little bit, but first we got to get a few more members because we're kind of small.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Brian Ostosh, San Diego, and I'm new to this. But I understand what fund means, and I understand funding is important. I don't know what to do for you.
I'm Lee Morton. I'm with the San Diego. We do a good job sometimes of getting our events out in the blind community, but I'm here to find out how to step it out there and get it out in the general community.
Thank you. John Ross, I am Greater Bakersfield. We had our walk in the dark and our dine in the dark, and we work with our local Lions clubs to raise awareness.
Good morning. My name is Nick Smiley from Redwood Empire Chapter, or Redwood Empire Council of the Blind of Santa Rosa. We, of course, have a lot of things to learn about PR. I think the thing that we're doing most recently is consider an office of corresponding secretary. That is someone who will actively write thank you letters to people, to donors, perhaps. We've also, I think, to try to accommodate our members, we've been changing days and meeting places. We now finally have a great place to meet on Saturday afternoons. But I think the corresponding secretary is someone who will get back to people who give to us and let them know how much they are appreciated. Thank you.
We're going to run out of time, and we have a speaker coming up.
I know. I don't think we have to worry about that right now. I think it's more important for us to introduce ourselves and to get to know each other. This is David Mandel. I'm with the San Francisco chapter, and one of the things that I'm concerned about as far as this organization and our chapter and specifically is that we rarely get in the press. And one of the reasons is that we don't do a lot of local work. Chapters do more than others. But I think when you get to know your boards of supervisors, your city councils, you also get to know your media and people hear about us. And as the late Jewel McGinnis once said about this organization, we're the best kept secrets around the state.
Okay. I'm Deborah Thompson from the Capital Chapter, and we just get involved with different things going on in the community just to get our name out there, like fundraisers and stuff.
Alice McGrath from Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, and newsletters and also community interaction when it comes to agencies.
This is Richard Retta, a member of the San Francisco chapter. I'm also the president of the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. The big things we're starting to do is social media, Twitter, and Facebook.
Good morning, everybody. My name is David Jackson. I would just reiterate as to what Frank's saying about how we do our PR. We basically do things through the local blind agency, the Lighthouse for the Blind, and with the connection as well to publicize our fundraisers.
This is Marcy Knudsen, member Central Coast Low Vision Council, and I don't really know what we're doing about PR at the moment because I live in San Diego, so I'm down here now.
Hi, my name is Anita March, and I'm with the San Francisco chapter, and I think my other members have said it all. It's getting out into the community, and our fundraisers bring us a lot of publicity.
I'm Kevin Berkery. I'm here with, I'm from Glendale, or Burbank, California. I'm here with Spazin. Who is next?
Artis Spazin, president of Glendale Burbank area chapter. We have mostly done ours through the blindness community, through the different listservs. We all have a Glendale Burbank chapter list, and anytime anyone calls me in our community interested, I add them to our list, even if they haven't joined, and eventually they start coming. We also have contacted some of the local colleges, and we've got several students in our group now because of our contact through the Disabled Student Services. So, but we need to do more too. We are not in the social media yet or anything like that. So,
hello, I'm Patty Davis. I'm the delegate for San Diego chapter, and one of our latest PR things is the self-defense class, and we've gotten a lot of. We haven't got any new members, but we've gotten a lot of the general public involved.
All right. Very good. I really appreciate that. And I also have our speaker on the line. And so I'm going to just give a quick introduction. because I think a lot of you, especially who are on the ACB listserv and other areas where you're involved with ACB, and even on the state level, you've heard this name before. And our guest speaker started out working, I don't know if he was working with it, but in high school was involved in getting some piano tuning projects together. He sort of made it a lot further than piano tuning, and that's not to say anything is wrong with that. But he advanced from there and became an entrepreneur. He's been working for well over 40 years now, and I don't know how he did that when he's only 40 years old, but he continues to work as a professor at Western Kentucky University. He also had his graduate work, let's see, I believe Arizona State. And he's been working as the chair for PR and also on several other committees for a long, long time. If any of you have heard of MMS, the monthly, the monetary support, and that's where not only do you give money to ACB, but you can also give up to 50% to your state affiliate or to some of the other special interest groups within ACB and all. They really do a great job, and this gentleman has also been highly involved in it to the point that he shares that as well. And I know that because when we signed up for it a couple of years ago, they were doing a contest and I won the Victor Stream as a result of that. They pulled my name. I haven't won anything since, so they're making up for it. But anyway, without further ado, let me also say that Ron is married, and he has three children, and it's always neat to go to the national conventions, especially just to even talk with he and his wife. Him and his wife would be correct English. And without further ado, let me introduce our speaker, the public relations chair of ACB, Dr. Ron Milliman. Ron, good morning.
Thank you very much for that welcoming. Good morning, everybody. It's much earlier there than it is here. It's 2 hours time difference, and so I have the advantage of being a little more awake maybe than some of you. I've had my coffee and everything. And I want to thank you all for that wonderful virtual breakfast that you all sent me. It was delicious. A loaded omelet this morning with coffee and everything, all virtual. But anyway, the topic we're going to be talking about this morning is called Guerrilla Marketing for ACB Affiliates and Chapters. And interestingly enough, that's also going to be the name of our next handbook that the PR committee is going to be putting out. We're going to be working on that over the period of this year. And we're anticipating getting it done so we can unveil it officially at the next ACB convention that's going to be up in Reno. So, as you know, we've been very, very active in a lot of our activities, the PR committee, and we got a couple other handbooks I'm going to be mentioning here in a minute that's available to you as well. So, anyway, I've got a fairly in-depth outline of items to get through here this morning. I'll tell you right up front that there's no right or wrong answers to most of this stuff. And we use the term guerrilla marketing, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, guerrilla marketing. And that basically what that comes to is talking about free and low-cost marketing tactics that we can use. And the whole idea behind guerrilla marketing is the fact that a lot of firms, small firms, that's where it originally came from. A lot of small firms are trying to compete with the big stores, the big firms, the big manufacturers, big companies. And so to do that effectively, they have to find free and low-cost methods for doing that. Well, originally, it was really meant for businesses, small businesses. And we picked up on it, and I've gone through the literature and made quite a study of it. In fact, I'm going to be introducing an entire course at the university on this topic and adapted it to nonprofit organizations because as we all know, we're not, you know, we don't have an abundance of money to work with. And so we have to develop free where we can and certainly low-cost methods of competing out there in the marketplace. And in all honesty, to compete with another organization that shall go unnamed that has an abundance of money, and we have to be able to deal with as well. So without any further delay, I'm going to go through this now. I wish this could be really interactive. When I teach class, I really try to make it interactive, try to get my students involved. Being on a phone like this, it's going to be more difficult to make it interactive, but we'll... I'm going to go through this. We're going to leave time at the end for some questions, and hopefully we can do that. Now, some of these things are going to be intuitively obvious, and some of these things we're going to go through will not be so. And so if you take a step back and take it as a whole, I think you'll get quite a bit out of it. But like I say, any one of them, you may say, oh, well, shoot, I know that. We're already doing that. Well, that may be, but the point is that if you look at the whole set of things I'm going to be covering here, collectively, I think you'll find probably some new ideas, new material, which I certainly hope so. So, I'm going to start out talking about with free bulletin boards and listings. And there's lots and lots of bulletin boards around that you can get your listing on and get a 3x5 card or 4x6 card or sometimes even larger than that, sometimes even poster size on. And it includes things like radio. Radio stations, most of them have sometimes once a day, sometimes once a week, where they announce. They have announcements that you can get on, and that's free. And not only their announcements, but also on their websites. Most all the media now have websites, and you can get the, in case of radio, get the announcements free on whatever they might call it. They might call it calendar of the day or calendar of the week or whatever they might call it. You can get announcements on that. But also, don't forget about their websites. They all have websites, and a lot of times they will have listings on their websites. The same way with TV. TV has calendars like that, calendar of events. Some of these calendars are, like I say, once a day. We have one in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where every morning they have announcements, and you get on free. So that's, and you can only get your announcement, I think, once a week, but they have it every morning. And then they also have a website that your announcement can go on. Now, that once your announcement's on the website, it can be on the website for, I think, an entire month. And then if you want longer than that, you can put up a new one. So in our case, where we have monthly meetings and we want those meetings announced, we can put that announcement out once a month, and it'll go out and stay on that TV station's website the entire month. Now, one that's often overlooked is cable. I don't know why, but it seems to be something that's overlooked quite often. You think of radio and TV, a lot of times we don't think about cable. And cable does a lot of program originating now and have bulletin boards or calendars that sometimes they're rotating. There's another word I'm searching for. I can't think of it right now. But we have one in our area where you flip on that channel, the cable channel, and it's a bulletin board, a rotating bulletin board or calendar that just goes over and over and over. It just repeats. And you can get listed on that. That's pretty neat. That's there 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year. We often overlook cable, but don't overlook cable. That's an important source. Obviously, newspapers. Newspapers have listings, oftentimes in the classified sections. Many newspapers have nonprofit services classified section that you can get in for free. We do in our local area, and like I say, it is free. I'm surprised at how many organizations are not aware of it and overlook that. But we get calls quite often from people that are losing their site, or from family members that are losing their site, or well, family members of people that are losing their sight. And they don't know where to turn. They don't know who to call. For some reason, it's almost impossible in our area to find the Kentucky State Office for the Blind listing in the telephone book. I don't know why it's so difficult, but it really is. And so they can go to the newspaper and look under that services, nonprofit services section. And if you're listed there, you know, it's fairly easy to find you and give you a call. Having said that, also the newspapers typically have websites, and they put their listings up there, not only in terms of their newspaper online, but they also have separate listings sometimes. And our newspaper actually has a separate nonprofit listing, which is kind of neat. So not only in terms of hard copy paper, but also online. Church newsletters and bulletin boards, I don't know why for some reason we tend to overlook these too, but a lot of churches have bulletin boards in lobbies of the church or maybe downstairs or somewhere in the church. They have bulletin boards where you can put an announcement up, again, maybe a 3x5 card or 4x6 card. But not only in bulletin boards like that, but also in church newsletters, or sometimes referred to as church bulletins. And also churches now, almost all of them have websites, and you can get listed sometimes an announcement on their website as well. Like I say, for some reason why we churches, but we often do. And I have stores down here, bulletin boards and stores. There again, that's often overlooked, but many stores out in the lobby, out in the waiting area, whatever you call it, have a large bulletin board that you can put things on. Those are often there for buy-sell things, if you have a boat for sale or something like that, but you can also use it to put announcements on. In our area, I don't know how many stores have that sort of thing, but several. Right now, I have to be at my, talking to you from at my lake house out here in Little Eddyville, Kentucky, which is just like one stoplight, if you can imagine that. And we have a store here in town called Ackridge's Ace, where it's like the center of town. They have a large bulletin board, and everybody, I mean, from all around, is looking for something. They go to Ackridge's and look on that bulletin board. Or they'll go in and ask somebody at Ackridge's, who do you know that? And a lot of times Paul Ackridge just said, well, go over and look on the bulletin boards. I think, you know, bulletin board, I think we have something over there. So those are good sources, and they're free. All these things I'm talking about are free, and that's what's neat, is you can get out for free. If you make a concerted effort, you get on all these things. Gosh, you know, that's a lot of coverage for free. Okay. Now, the next one I've got is online directories. This is something that you may not be aware of. There are a lot of online directories that you can get listed on for free. And I recommend that you go through Google, and you can go through Google and put in quotes, open quotes, online directories, close quotes, comma, open quotes, nonprofit, close quotes. And if you use the quotes and the commas, it will restrict the listings you get to some extent, to a large extent, actually. But even at that, what I just gave you will bring up like 9,000 listings of directories and directory-related listings. Some of those you can get on for free. Some of them are very, very low cost. The only thing I have to caution you about on this suggestion is that you have to be careful, because if you're not, you can get on some of these directories and they will grab up your, if you have an email address, they'll grab up your email address. Next thing you know, you get spammed to death. And It's a really, really good horse, but you have to be really careful. You have to use the common sense. Just don't get on all of them, because you get on all of them, or you get on the wrong one, you can end up getting a ton of spam, and that's not a good thing. Okay. The next category I have is similar to the first. It's not exactly the same, but similar. This is for free placement or flyers or brochures. Now, it's not quite the same thing as putting a listing on a bulletin board. This is where you can put your flyers or your brochures out, maybe in the lobby of a doctor's or whatever. And I'm going to go through various ideas here. Again, I'm not thinking that this is going to be all-inclusive. I got a lot of material here, and you may have some other sources that you're aware of that I've overlooked. I'm not trying to be all-inclusive here. We've had good luck in getting our flyers and brochures in doctor's offices, and ideally optometrist and ophthalmologist offices. Matter of fact, just I think 2 days ago, I got one back from a fella that saw our brochure in an ophthalmologist's office, and they filled it out and returned it back to us. And we've received several leads that way. Doctors are usually pretty good about that, but sometimes you have to call ahead of time, call and talk to the key people in the office and kind of build a little bit of a relationship there, let them know you're legit. And then ideally, you should go and hand deliver these things, because the personal contact will help increase the probability of their cooperating with you and putting them out for you. State services for the blind. We've been pretty lucky, and our state service for the blind helps us distribute our materials. And we've gotten several leads that way. We got our word out when a number of members of our organization have found out about us this way. And we have our brochures in the state office for the blind, the office itself, as well as the lady that does that goes out in the home and does the adaptive technology analysis and that sort of thing. She actually has some with her, and she takes them out and gives them to people and encourages them to call us. We're kind of lucky, I say we, in the South Central Kentucky Council of Blind, because we don't have any competing chapters of anything right really near us. So we're like the only game in town, which helps us, you know, quite a bit in that way. State divisions of the National Library Service, NLS, will often include your brochures with their mailings when they put the mailings out each month. They will often agree to include your mailing as part of that if you ask them to do it. I understand I've not done this, but I understand that maybe you have done it. I understand that they will also put announcements sometimes on the website. Now, I don't know that personally. I just heard that. I would be surprised at that, but that's what I've been told. But we have had success in getting the national NLS, our Kentucky NLS service, brochures out in their mailings that went out every quarter, something like that. Now, they don't put it out every time, but they have done it, you know, like once a year or something like that. Service centers is a term that I have here. I've tried to think how to call this, and the only thing I could come up with is service centers. And what I'm thinking of here is we've got, for instance, in our area, we've got a service center called the Alive Center. And it's originally it was created as for volunteers to help organizations find volunteers, to help organizations interact about each other and get cooperative interactions among and between agencies and groups and nonprofits and that sort of thing. The Alive Center has been taken over by the university, Western Kentucky University, and they've changed the direction of that a little bit, but there are other service centers around like that of that type, and they have different names. I have no idea what they might be called out there in California, but there are service centers that he was set up to bring volunteers together or for various other purposes. And you can often, I say often, like 100% of the time, get your brochures in those offices. A lot of times they have a table set up, they have some area set up where all these organizations have their brochures available that that people can pick up and see. And they're free. I mean, that services is free. University Disability Student Services. I've had that listed here because I know out in California you have lots and lots of universities and community colleges and that sort of thing. They all have disability student service offices. We've had really, really good luck in working with the disability student service offices to get them to distribute our brochures, information about us. And we've had especially good luck in getting the head of the Disability Student Service Office. We've developed a relationship with it, and he knows me really quite well. Of course, I teach there. That helps probably a little bit. But he sends out announcements for us to all of the blind and low-vision students on campus, announcing our meetings, our monthly meetings, any special events we're having, anything like that. And he won't give me the students. He will not say, here's the list. He will not turn any of that information over to us. He can't do that. But if I write up the message I want him to send, he will in turn send it out. And he's really good about that. And we've had a lot of leads. We generate a lot of members of the student, young student members in our organization from those leads. And what's a really hot button with our students is in the fall early, having a technology night, and we get the Disability Student Service Office to send out that announcement, and the students really like this technology idea and coming and learning about new technology and seeing it all, especially if they can get their hands on it, and that's been extremely effective for us, and it's again free. The next big category I have here, and I know I'm going through these quite quickly, and I will tell you this, that I'll not announce this again later, but if anybody wants this that I'm going through, you can just contact me, and I'll give you my email address in a few minutes. And I'll be more than happy to send you this list. Basically, it's an outline of what's the handbook that the PR committee is going to be putting together, so. I heard Art is back there, so Art is everything I'm going through is going to end up one way or the other in a handbook for pretty much everything, I think. Public service announcements, PSAs. You all know what public service announcements are. You all know that all radio and TV stations are required by law to set aside a certain amount of time for PSAs, public service announcements, which is a good thing. The bad thing is that it's very competitive. It's not easy to get your PSA on the particular radio or TV station. And so you got to develop a relationship as much as you possibly can with the key people that handle those things. So when you put them in their hands, they will cooperate with you and run them. I'm not going to go into all the details of that here. It's way, way beyond the scope of this session. But we have an entire public service announcement handbook that we have written that goes into a considerable amount of detail. How to put them together, how to distribute them, everything. That PSA handbook is available from our national office in Arlington. It is supposed to be on our website. And in verifying my information here, I went up on our website, our website, meaning the ACB.org website, and to try to find this handbook, and much to my shock, it is not up there. It's supposed to be, and I was told that it was. I spent quite a bit of time trying to find it, and I cannot find it up there. Our PR handbook, which I'll mention in a minute, is up there, but the PSA's handbook is not, but it is available from our Arlington office. And Monday I'm going to do whatever I can to try to get it up on our website. I think it's probably just an oversight by somebody. But PSA announcements, they can obviously go on the radio, on TV, and go on the your cable systems. They tend to be more campaign-type things where you put a public service announcement out, maybe a general announcement about your organization. I'm sure CCB has some that they're running on a regular basis. I hear many of you represent chapters of CCB, and your chapter then can certainly put a PSA together. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be, no real talent. You just have to, you have a very limited amount of time. Usually it's 30 seconds. In fact, actually it's more like 29 seconds. And if it's 29 seconds, they'll play it. If it's 31 seconds, they won't, believe it or not. It actually oftentimes gets that critical. And so there's only so many words you can get in 29 seconds. And it's about roughly 75 words. And so you have to, make every word count, and it's not difficult to do, and we found the stations really like to have the scripts. Now, they will play pre-recorded PSAs, not all of them, some will. A lot of stations like written scripts, where their own personalities, their own online people can read those scripts. And so what we have done, and again, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but what we've done is we put together a packet. And in that packet contain both the written scripts as well as recorded PSA. We had a member of our group happens to have like a recording studio in his home, Max Robinson. But some of your people may as well. You don't have to be, to have a recording studio. It isn't like back in the old days where it took a lot of equipment. Today it doesn't that much to put out something pretty darn good sounding. I mean, it sounds really good. And with some music and, fade in and out, and it doesn't take a lot of expertise to do that anymore. And so you can pre-record it. And what we did is we put both out the written scripts as well as a pre-recorded CD in a packet with a cover letter and so forth, and hand-delivered it to the station. Now, sometimes it's not easy to hand-deliver those things, as you know, so you can also call the people up and develop a relationship with the key people again, and then you can put it in the mail and mail it to them and let them know it's on its way. We've had our South Central Kentucky Council of the Blind Group at one point had our PSAs running in as many as 26 stations in our market at the same time. And that's Bowling Green, the greater Bowling Green area. And that's pretty doggone good. So, and they do work. We have a lot of leads for us in terms of new members and that sort of thing. That's a good thing. Video PSAs are a little more difficult to put together for us. It's more difficult for us if we're blind, low vision, to operate cameras, but it can be done. You can get volunteers a lot of times to help you with those. Sometimes your TV stations, your public broadcasting stations will help you with those things. Again, this information is all in our PSA handbook, so I encourage you to, if you don't have a copy of that, get a copy of it. There's a lot of good information in it. The next heading, the next major area I'm going to get into, again, somewhat quickly, media releases, press release, editorial releases, somewhat the same name for the same kinds of things. These things change over time, and the new hot term is media release. Why? Well, because press release, it just gives the impression it's just the paper, and the media release is much broader, and that refers to all types of media, including both online as well as offline. So the hot term is media release. And this, again, is where you put together, you write up a press release or media release, preferably the shorter the better. I've been talking with a professional service here the last few weeks, and they tell me that any release that's longer than 500 words is pretty much wasting your time. So 500 words or less, and that press release or media release, probably the most important part of it in most respects is the headline. It's got to be really, really catchy, where it gets attention and says the essence of what you're trying to communicate in one night. And so that's kind of the key. You got to be able to catch an editor's attention very, very quickly. But press releases or media releases can be placed in newspapers. They can be sent out to all the media, online and offline. And they are typically things that announce special events. If you've got a Keene Safety Day event, of course that's past now because that was back in October 15th or whatever. But you've got a special event coming up. Maybe you've got a special Christmas event coming up. It gives you a chance to do a press release. If you offer scholarships and you want to get the information out of your scholarships, you can do a press release and get that out. But we have an entire press release handbook that our committee wrote. It is up on db.org. Copies of it can be obtained from our Arlington office. We have it in both. We have it in Braille, large print, also on CD. And it gives a lot of information in terms of the details of how to write press releases, the dues, how to get them distributed, everything. It's pretty well written, pretty inclusive. So I strongly urge that you get a hold of that. It's pretty useful. Press releases, again, are free, or media releases are free to send them out. Now make sure you get them in the hands of the right person. Some of the lists that you can get, you can look up online to find lists of sources, and that will oftentimes give you the name and contact person. But my experience has been that those lists are only good to find out the sources maybe to send your press release out to, or your PSA, whichever, out to, but the actual contact person, if I were you, and this is what I recommend, is to contact each one of those sources, each TV station, each radio station, each newspaper, each source, and verify who that key person is that you need to send it to. I say that because there's a lot of turnover, and the listings are online, even some print listings, are inaccurate. They don't have the right names on them. And so if you call the source and get the correct name, and then especially you can talk to that person, again, just try to build a relationship, that will be very, very much to your advantage, very worth the time that it takes to do that. I've even gone so far as, believe it or not, is to arrange a luncheon with key people and say, hey, I'd like to get together with you. I'd like to talk to you, tell you a bit about our organization, and wonder what day next week might be a good day for us to get together and have lunch together. Lunch is on me. And, most people don't do that, but I thought it works. It helps build relationships. So we're talking about the traditional source, radio, TV, cable, the traditional sources. But you also want to remember there's a lot of online sources now for these things to get them out to. And social media sources, Google, Yahoo, various online sources that will now take your press releases. There's a couple wire services that will take them for free. You can send them out to. So I don't have time here to get into all of these, but you can do some research online using Google and come up with a tremendous repertoire of information sources. And again, the PR handbook has all this information in it in detail. Okay, here's another one. Guest appearances. This is something that I don't know why in the world we don't take advantage of this, but these are free things, and they work. Radio and TV programs and cable programs. I can't tell you how many times I've been on a local TV station. The things that we might send out a press release on, I can also arrange to get on the morning show, the noon show. I've been on this program at night. So there's guest appearances, opportunities. Again, radio, TV. I can't begin to count the numbers. I've been on radio as a guest, on radio talking about various events we've had for fundraisers we've had, concerts that we've been on, those kinds of things. And our cable station, as well as I'm sure many of yours, has programs that you can get on. In fact, a lot of times they're just almost begging for content. And I've found it very, very easy to get on public broadcasting station programs, on our cable TV system, for any number of events that we want to publicize. Again, like the technology night I was talking about, on for that. So guest appearances on those things, not that hard, relatively easy. Well, make sure you have somebody that will represent your organization well, you know, well-dressed and groomed and that sort of thing. And you know, that sort of goes without saying, I guess. Clubs and organizations, guest appearances, clubs and organizations. Why that's overlooked, I don't know, but a lot of times your clubs and organizations in local areas looking for people to come in and, you know, put on something, a dog and show at one of the meetings. I've been on a number of Lions Club luncheons, and there's other clubs and organizations that they just know about you. Put the word out, put a letter out to them, say, hey, you're available for guest appearances. We'd like to tell you about our organizations, some things that we can do. For children, parents of blind children, for older adults, senior citizens, whatever the topic might be. And it's not that difficult. If you really make a concerted effort, you can almost have more of those guest appearance opportunities than you have time for. Schools and universities, teachers, professors are often looking for people to come in as guest speakers. And I've been a guest speaker in classes, elementary school classes, and that's a kick. I have some fun. Go to fourth or third or fourth grade class as a guest speaker. And the great thing about that is the kids get all excited about it. They love it. You're communicating with a lot of kids, but they go back and they tell their friends, they tell their family. And so by word of mouth, you're getting word out and educating people far and wide. And it's a lot of fun, especially in elementary school, but even in high school health classes, a lot of times they talk about eye and different parts of the body, and they like to have speakers come in and talk about eye diseases, and gee, you know, we know quite a bit about those things, but you don't know, you can research a little bit. University classes, the same thing. I even talked about, you know, was a guest speaker in a university class here a few years ago. It was in an interior design class, believe it or not, and they wanted me to come in and talk about interior design as it pertains to people with disabilities. And so I took advantage of it. I had to do a little research because, frankly, I didn't know that much about everything when it came to wheelchairs and so forth, but it wasn't that difficult. But tons and tons of information's out there. Have to, you know, study it a little bit, be prepared. Conferences like ophthalmology, and every state, your state has probably two or three a year, maybe more than that. Our state has a couple a year conferences, and again, they're looking for guest speakers. And if they know about you, you can volunteer and oftentimes become a guest speaker in those kinds of conferences. And say, talking about what? Well, talking about your organization, what your organization does for blind and low vision people, what you can do really to help that those doctors. You'd be amazed how little they know about some of these things, and they like to have a resource that they can call to or refer their patients to and say, well, you know, I recommend that you get a hold of the California Council of the Blind. They can really help you. My final category here is called Other, and I've got some kind of interesting things here. Your own radio or TV program, you say, are you nuts, my own radio or TV program? No, you know that we have sound print that's on our ACB radio, but that comes out of Louisville, Carla. Rushville does each week and does a wonderful job with Carla and Mike. They do a really great job with that program. But in their case, we actually pay some for that, for that airtime. But there are opportunities to do things like for free. The radio is looking for opportunities to plug in some programming, some space, or key some space. Max Robinson, the fellow I referred to a little while ago, has his own recording studio. He has a program that comes on, I believe, every week, and it's repeated over and over again on cable. And it's free. He doesn't pay for it. They have him come in, and he puts on a program. He plays guitar and sings, and he talks about disabilities, and it's really it's a pretty good program, and it doesn't cost anything. It gives a lot of publicity. I have friends, this is not disability, but I have friends of mine over here in Paducah that has a TV program that comes on, you know, on cable every month. It's a new program once a month, and it deals with animals and all kinds of things, anything dealing with dogs and cats, how to take care of them. And that doesn't cost them anything. It's, they do it for free, but it's free to the cable station. And it's a good viewing audience, believe it or not. But they had myself and Kathy Nimmer on as guest speakers talking about guide dogs for one of their sessions, one of the more popular sessions. You could put on a program like that talking about disabilities, and you'd be surprised. The stations might be very, very amenable to it. I say disabilities, you could be talking about just eye diseases or eye things. You could have guest speakers on like local eye doctors because that gives them some free publicity and it helps you too. So with some imagination, you come up with all kinds of things like that. Not only the regular radio, TV kinds of things, but also don't forget about online. Of course, there's ACB radio, you know about that. But there are other online sources as well as that that gives you an opportunity to do your own programming.
And, Ron, we're going to need to wrap up in just a couple minutes. I mean, if you want to summarize, maybe we'll have time for one or two quick questions, and maybe you can let the folks know how they might be able to reach you, at least by email.
Okay, let me just mention real quickly the other couple of things here. Your own newspaper column, that's a possibility. Business cards, don't forget about business cards. You can get them relatively cheap. Everybody should have a business card. Affiliate and chapter websites, you have that out there, CCB. And listings on search engines, the ways of doing that. And I have some other things here, too, but as you can tell, my outline is pretty inclusive. So anyway, if you want the entire outline that I have here, it's easy to get. Just contact me. My email address all over, since all the Braille forums, it's everywhere, it seems like. But it's R. Milliman, M-I-L-I-M-A-N, R. Milliman, @ InsightBB, that's InsightBB. I'm sure that BB stands for broadband. R. Milliman @ InsightBB.com. And if you just write to me and say, please send me the list of the stuff you want over at CCB or whatever you want to ask for, I'll know what you're asking for and I'll send it to you.
That's great. And I hear that your name was misspelled. I apologize, because the one thing you never want to do in public relations is to misspell a name.
Well, I kind of laughed about it because I made a joke over it, and I hope I don't want to offend anybody, but I said, well, Ken gave us sort of a Hispanic twist, you know, Milamon. And is an M O N on the end, and so but that's okay. I've been called much, much worse things, you know.
Well, I'm PR chair, and I'll take the blame for it, even if I didn't do it.
I tell my students they can call me Dr. Ron to my face, and I have no control over what they call me behind my back. So, yeah.
Just repeat your email one more time. A couple of people are asking that. One more.
Yeah,
time.
It's R. Milliman. R. Milliman, M-I-L-L-I-M-A-N, R. Milliman, at sitebb, that's insightbb.com.
Okay, very good. Maybe, do you have time if we just take one or two quick questions, and then we still have a whole bunch of meetings to go through today. So do we have some questions?
Dr. Ron, this is Frank Welty. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Frank.
Hey there. Most of us, I think one thing that stops a lot of us when it comes to the PR and press releases and PSAs is simple chore of getting, you know, physically accessing the contact information for TV, radio, and other media. Do you have some recommendations for accessible ways for a totally blind person to get that information, aside from simply getting a reader to go through the phone book?
Well, of course, that's one way. The other way is just simply going online. If you have computer access, I know you do, of course, Frank, but
yeah.
And most blind people do, as a matter of fact, but if you have computer access, it's pretty easy to go online and go to Google and put in radio stations or TV stations or whatever, not specific stations, but just in broad terms. You can open quotes TV stations or open quotes TV, close quotes, comma, open quotes in your city, close quotes, and you'll get a complete listing. You can do it for TV, radio, newspaper, all the various media, get a complete listing. Once you have the list, if it's not too exhaustive, again, I always recommend making personal contact, making sure you're getting in touch with the right person. So, now, to cut out all the garbage, you may or may not know that on Google, they have accessible Google. And accessible Google is the URL to that is Labs, that's L-A-B-S, labs.google.com/accessibility, or accessible, not accessibility, but accessible. And that gives you a version of Google you may not be aware of, but it cuts out all the garbage.
Labs is for lab retrievers, right?
You got it.
one other question, anybody? Okay, I think we're going to really wrap up then, and Dr. Ron, I'll tell you, it's, pardon? Oh, and my wife says hello too, and believe me, I have to tell you that, or she's right next
hello,
to me, and she's left.
Ma'am, you're looking good this morning.
And she's left-handed, she really will hit me if I don't tell you that. But we really, really appreciate you being with us this morning. I think some of us at this point wish it was your time instead of ours by the hour, especially those of us who went to hospitality last night. But
and resolutions.
And resolutions. We can't forget where Frank is until 3 and 4 in the morning, because I used to be there, and that was enough. After several years, you know, you have to stop. But we really appreciate you being with us, and very much appreciate all the information you gave. There's really a lot, and you were absolutely right. A lot of it is common sense, but you know, until it's wrapped up in a package, you don't think about it that way.
You don't think as a total like that. You're right. And there's a few things that I didn't. I ran out of time to cover. So if anybody wants this list, again, write to me. If you want any elaboration on any of these points, let me know. I chair the PR committee, and that's what the PR committee is here for.
Well, appreciate that. I will be writing to you, and I'm sure others will as well. Thanks again. Say hi to your wife for us, and you have a great day as to what's left of it. And we'll be talking with you in Sparks, Nevada.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much. And that the virtual breakfast was delicious.
Well, since they had a buffet here, it even made it better.
Yeah.
That way we gave you the dishes and
stuff. You know what? On a virtual breakfast, why had I actually lose weight?
I think we could, too, even though we're here. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Dr. Ron. See you soon.
Okay, guys.
Bye-bye now. Thank you. All right, everyone. So I think, like I said, the common sense element, as he said, and I said here at the end, it's definitely there. But we really don't think of all these things until you really put to use. And I'll just tell you one very quick story, and then we can adjourn. A few weeks ago, we saw, the boss says?
Undercover Boss.
I don't know if any of you have watched that show on CBS on Sunday evenings. It's reality TV, and most of us, including myself, do not like reality TV. I'm tired of it. But this one is where CEOs of big companies go undercover for a week within their companies, and they try and do other jobs and stuff. Well, I did hear the CEO from DirecTV, and we happen to have DirecTV, so I did call him a week after our 21st Century Communications bill passed. I didn't call him. I emailed him, and I found his email in Google. I did email the president's office of DirecTV, I'll put it that way, and he did give it to his assistant, and within a few days, she actually called me. We had a little bit of a chat, and I'll try and get some other folks involved as well. I'm going to be working with them a little bit on some information once we start working on getting the program channels to tell us what's going to be on and getting all the menus read. So I'll be working with them as a result of that contact. So it really does work. You know, most of the time we think that these CEOs and higher up administrators don't listen to us, but I really think now they're going to want to, because they aren't the experts when it comes to the communications that we need. So they're going to need a lot of us to get involved in that stuff, and that's just another area for you to, you know, try and get to with different companies, talk to your cable companies, and you're going to get the runaround many times. And so, you know, just keep pursuing it. Be persistent, and I guarantee you, eventually they'll get tired of you trying to stalk them. And, well, that's not a good word, but anyway, but it works, okay? So, you know, if you really keep contacting them, they're going to know you're for real and that you're out there, and that's how we in the CCB and also in ACB will eventually be able to get our points across. Again, thanks so much for coming. Sorry about the little mix-up there with the breakfast. I think everything finally worked out, although I still wanted another 5 cups of coffee. And we will see you at next convention. Thank you.